You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
You want to do it is fine. You can come as the alter ego of your dog. It doesn't matter because sometimes that might be even more authentic. So you're welcome to call anytime 573-4-BREAD-4, 573-4-BREAD-4. You can also email me at dmlive@breadboxmedia.com, dmlive@breadboxmedia.com. And your emails will be, again, taken very confidentially, and you can give us your parameters of what you would like. Would you like your situation to be discussed over the air? Would you like to have it changed a bit? Would you like to hear of a general concept, whether it is in the medical side, the nutritional side, psychological side, spiritual side, or all the above? Because we are all the above. And that's my dedication. And that's my passion, is to be all the above. There is no either or in our life. We cannot be either or. We cannot be all brain, all spirit, all body, all. We cannot be that, because that's not how we were made. And we plug into this world. We have to have the cellulose, the actual photosynthesis that is happening in your grass right now, that you sometimes put all kinds of chemicals on. We have to have that because we eat either the grasses themselves, as in rice, and then we actually gain that energy that's locked. I mean, these are like little gifts. It's like the Magi bringing gifts. It's like a parade of one person after another, like in The Emperor's New Clothes, only not that story. But I remember seeing pictures of this. You could just see the people of the kingdom lined up for miles and miles and miles to get a glimpse of the emperor. Well, actually, our world is really doing that for us, and we should be doing it back to our world. So the grasses, the very grasses we take for granted, or the grasses we think are weeds, or the flowers that grow randomly, or that you plant in your yards. Yes, we're getting so used to saying, oh, it's all part of the food chain. But it's more than that. These different entities capture the energy that is just brought out. Whether it's all from the sun, but it's brought out from the sun, it's captured. It doesn't just, you know, it's not like fake hair dye or something. Of course, that gets absorbed too. So I won't even go there. Yes, it does get absorbed. Doesn't mean I'm not going to maybe dye my hair occasionally. But we have those packages, those amazing little things we can't even think about. Sometimes you've learned about them, sometimes you haven't. But even if you do not eat them directly, if you eat something that eats that, you are gaining the biochemistry and the physics of creation, of dirt, of the bugs in the dirt. You're gaining all of that. So know that you must be fully integrated. So all that said, how do we fully integrate ourselves so that we have integrated good relationships? Well, sometimes it takes a lifetime to understand it, or to move in that direction, or just get a little inclination of, wow, I think I'm getting it, kind of, but you don't get it intellectually. It's a movement. It's a growth. And just like with human development, we had a program on asynchronous development, which was highlighted for those of you with gifted children Or we wouldn't even, maybe it's not measurable gifts. Maybe it's not going to be the best writer or an amazing singer or a great mathematician. But in this thing that we magically call the bell curve, we have most of everything, whether it be plants, animals, people, under the bell curve. They kind of more or less, with the majority of people hitting the top there, and then fewer and fewer and fewer as we get out to the edges. But that's all of us. Where do you lay on the bell curve? I venture and I propose to you that you don't really know. You might have this feeling all your life, I've been a misfit. Well, you might be on one of the slopes of the bell curve or way out to the edge. Maybe there's things that just didn't fit under that tall curve. So we talk about asynchronous development, and we have that in all forms of our life. We have that in our relationships. We have that in our way that we view everything, the way we view ourselves, if we appreciate or don't appreciate ourselves, in hopefully our spirituality and in our religion, and in the way we navigate on this planet, our political views, all kinds of things. And sometimes we have to take the best guess we have, and oftentimes we are just darn wrong. But we try. And so we learn from those mistakes. We learn from being wrong. I believed this over here. I saw the snapshot, let's say. I'm going to take something that everyone can identify with. Doesn't matter which side of the aisle you are on. All of you have had a situation that somewhere, whether you affiliate with a party or you wait to see what the person's about, whatever you do, where you've heard something, you've seen something, you have some evidence presented to you, and you think, yeah, okay, got that. And you go in one direction, come to find out that not so much you were wrong. This is where we sometimes beat ourselves up. It's not that you were wrong. Necessarily, you may have been wrong in what you thought. Yes, I thought that they were going to make a great big park for everybody out in the middle of my town. They did not. They put in a Walmart. So you're wrong in your belief, in that perspective. But what that lesson is, you know what? I better sit back. Maybe since it's happened before, things are just a little too good to be true. Maybe I want that so badly that I didn't hear the little red tape going underneath with the tiny little words that say, what I really mean to say is we're going to put in a Walmart. So maybe we didn't do all our homework. Maybe we didn't know what homework to do. So I'm going to bring that back to relationships. I'm also going to all relationships, your boyfriend, your spouse, your children, your parents, your coworkers. We want to bring this back, because until you have, as the plants outside, your roots firmly planted in the ground, but you grow up and you're willing to branch out and you're willing to see what's going to bloom, and you don't do things that will block yourself from that growth, you have every chance in the world, no matter how old you are, to what we call make amends, whether you can in person or not. And even if making amends is simply inside of yourself saying, you know what, I now see that even though this person was brutal, let's say, I see some of that. Not that I asked for that or that came onto me, but then what did I do with that at that moment? None of us will be perfect, but we're going to talk about relationships, and we're going to talk about the lost art of being kind. Have you lost the true kindness that most children have? Children, yes, and their behavior, and go through their little me is everything world. That's human development. Study human development. You'll find out, not a pathology. It's a part of human development. And we develop more or less at different stages, all back to asynchronous development. But have you decided in your brain, in your intellect, what kindness is, and then moved in your rigid definition of kindness? I've had all across the spectrum so many people, well, I'm kind because look what I did. I asked that person about their uncle who has cancer. That shows that I'm kind. But everyone over here is telling me I'm not. Well, we're going to get into some of the more subtle nuances. And are you teaching your children to be kind? And why is that important? It is, we will get into that as we get into the program, but why is that important? Why is it so important to have a bath of kindness in which the rest of you swims? What, why is that so important? It is the food. It's like the nourishment. They have certain broths that they use sometimes in all kinds of, or they used to, in all kinds of medical problems, all kinds of scientific experiments, where you get a nutrient broth that has the nutrients that you need in order to restore the health of the baby or the child or the anorexic or the plant or your animal. There's a broth you can give to make sure you have all the nutrients. Well, how about your spiritual and psychological broth? Where are you in that? So in all this world, this whole beginning of mixed metaphors of plants and gardens and broth, they all can kind of mix up. So I want you to think about your garden. I want you to think about your bell curve. Are you striving to be right in the middle of the bell curve? And maybe you just aren't. Think about your bell curve. Think about your broth. Think about your flowers. Open the window. Have a moment of gratitude. Something in your life, anything. I stood up on my feet today, or I can't stand up my feet, but I saw a bird fly by. Whatever your gratitude is, mark it, say it. Thank God for that. Get your coffee, which is also something you'd be very grateful for, that we can still drink coffee. It's still growing. It can be brewed right in your house. So thank God for that. Join me on the other side of the break. I am Dr. Michelle. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Well, welcome back. I am your host, Dr. Michelle. You are with me today on Dr. Michelle Live, 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4. You can call, you can text, you can also email dmlive@breadboxmedia.com, and you can log on to breadboxmedia.com, find our page, scroll over to friend of the show, and become a friend of the show if you like what you hear. If you like kind of what you hear, but you wish you had some more of something or less of something else, you have some suggestions, please email me at dmlive@breadboxmedia.com. Take everything you say seriously, everything. So if you're happy, you're not happy, you have problems, if we can't answer, I can't answer your question directly. And as I've told you, and we say in the beginning of the program, I can't diagnose or offer treatment over the air. There's just no way we can do that, because a good person would be able to know you personally. A good treatment plan has to know you more personally. However, give you lots of ideas. And that's what we do here. So pick my brain. It's here. It's here to be picked. If you need questions about someone asked a while back about medications, we can talk about medications. We can talk about, you know, when is it time to question your medications or to talk to someone about it. And if you're not getting the satisfaction, the depth in which you hope to move your whole healthcare trajectory, then we can talk about that. Sometimes you need to get a fresh idea, fresh eyes on the situation. Never, never, never just pull yourself off of something if you've been on medications, and especially more than one, because often they have to live in some kind of synergy, some kind of harmony. And if you pull one off, all of a sudden you can just short circuit everything. Some people can go into seizures depending on the medication they're on. Some people, if they add things that they're not supposed to add, they can get different syndromes in the psychiatric medications, or even all, of course, in the non-psychiatric medications. So you have to really be careful, fine tune everything, but balance is the word. Balance and just a healthy skepticism about everything. Questioning is good. We don't really like to question. And when we do have a question, we click on a mouse click, and after about 20 mouse clicks, you get tired and your brain gets fatigued. So oftentimes that may not be the place to get your answers, but it might be the place to ask a question. There's so many things out there that we just don't have the time to sleuth out ourselves, and all of a sudden we ask the question. I do that even with Mozart, my dog. I will look and think, I wonder if apples are dangerous for any reason. And I may find that answer, but then I may find another question that I didn't really think of, that someone else thought of for their dog. And I think, I really need to think about that. Whether it's where they walk, about the pesticides getting absorbed into their paws. Their paws are very absorbable. So it things like that that you might not think of. So it's always good to not to use everything in a balance. So how does this relate back to kindness? Well, part of the exercises of regrowing, rehydrating, clearing out the weeds of your kindness garden, part of the exercises of those will develop other things. This is all just a variation of human development. So as we talked about asynchronous development in children, where they may appear to be lagging or very behind in some things, within reason, of course, they may be brewing a very gifted area. They may be ingesting things in their brains that we can't possibly understand the workings. Our ways of learning are not linear. And I would bet if all of a sudden you exchange brains with anyone, the person you know best in the world, you'd be so disoriented, you would have no clue. Because even in looking at this is how I see pink, you will never see pink the way I do. I will never see it the way you do. You will never see it the way your children do. You may be able to discern, that's pink, but it might be, this is just a little different. A whole world, imagine a whole world. You woke up tomorrow and everything was just a little changed in their shades. That's what it is to be a separate human being. So in growing your kindness, number one, know that and embrace it. That the slightest little change, it's still a huge, vast universe. So when you look out that window and you see pink flowers, white flowers, purple flowers, ivory. That's a better word. I've never seen a beige flower. But ivory flowers, because I'm looking outside the window right now, orange flowers, all the different shades of green, white blossoms, bluebells, everything that you see. Limes, green limes, different shades of green. Imagine that you're looking out that window and you open the curtains and everything is just a little different. You would have to short circuit your brain for a second, and you would have to scramble to put it all back and make some rationale in your head very quickly as to what it was and why it appeared different. So in the like manner, if we can accept that that would be a very disorienting thing, but that it would still be flowers, it would be the same backyard, it would still grow the same, and it would still do the same thing for butterflies and hummingbirds and any other little being that lives around those things and is dependent on those flowers, because they see it very different than we do. And we accept that. It'd blow your mind if you had the eyes of a hummingbird or the eyes of a fly or the eyes of a snake, or it would blow your mind as to what they saw. Or when you see those things about the flies, or they see like, you know, 50 of something all at the same time. Imagine. But we can't. It's very difficult. So you cannot anticipate what your child, your boyfriend, your mother, your father, you can't anticipate what they see. So you can't anticipate what is kind for them. What do they need? But God gives us this amazing sonar, this amazing tunedness, this amazing quantum physics that they're finding out, that we how we interact energetically, true energy. And again, this is not New Agey stuff. Think about it. You come up to me, and if we get it within a certain proximity, you are going to feel the energy coming off of me, and I'm going to feel the energy coming off of you. You will feel the heat. You will feel, what's heat? It's energy. It's not just, oh, there's a hot body there, so to speak. No adjectives there at all. We're talking actual temperature. If you could measure, which people do, you look at those PET scans, you measure the heat, infrareds, it's all about the heat coming off the body or internally lighting. Why, when they talk about lighting certain things up, certain areas are cold, certain areas are warm, and they're consistently show us these different colors on a spectrum. So likewise, you have these little areas that maybe have been a bit dormant. Too many things, too many wrapped in too much tinfoil, so to speak, to where that energy isn't getting out or you're not picking it up. But you have it, just like with your kid or other people that you've been around a long time, you kind of know, or you just walk into a room and you go, oh yeah, mom's got a little issue right now, better walk tiptoe back out. Why do you know that? She may not even looked at you, but you do know it. So the same thing happens when we are desiring to grow and to hydrate our kindness, our ability to be kind, because when we begin kindness, rather than just this random act of kindness, which is a great idea, but that book that came out a while back and people still talk about it, just do a random act of kindness. It's a good thing. And sometimes you can come in the back door. You, by doing lots of little random acts of kindness, you will get a side effect that maybe you didn't count on. You'll begin to grow that kindness garden. You decide, okay, I'm not really feeling it, but I'm going to go volunteer every week to feed the homeless, read to the kids, organize diapers for the indigent and their children, go to an elder place and bring my dog. All these little things that you can do that might be up your alley. Maybe you like to read. Maybe you like to cook. Maybe you'd rather just sweep a floor. All that stuff is needed. Elderly, they need you so badly. It's unbelievable. All those things. But what will happen is you'll start fine-tuning. You'll start getting that energy off of other people, how they're feeling, how they're doing. So that when you come in and say, I know what this person's going to like, they're going to like a big thing of flowers. And you bring a big thing of flowers, well-intentioned, and they go into anaphylactic shock because they are very allergic to flowers. You're going to have to start thinking, you know what, that was a very kind thing to do, but it didn't work with this person. Let me see what will. Will you grab your coffee? I want you to look out the window, find something you are grateful for, but I also want you to imagine yourself as plugged into root systems, everything plugged into this beautiful earth that God has given you so that you can watch the interaction around you and you can start growing yourself. And when you do that, you're going to start growing your children too. You're going to start being more open to your children's development and the changes. And you're going to understand that the bad times along with the good times all will form this beautiful basket of which you can present to the world and make it a better place. I am your host, Dr. Michelle. I will see you on the other side of the break. Grab your coffee, 573-4-BREAD-4.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome back. I am your host, Dr. Michelle. You are with me today on Dr. Michelle Live, 573-4-BREAD-4, 573-4-BREAD-4. You can email me, DM live at breadboxmedia.com with any thoughts, questions, suggestions, topics. It's all, I mean, I am here with you. So as we're walking, as girls tend to do, we just chat. And so as someone else brings in, you're talking about your kids and they go, oh, look over there. Look at that deer. Well, we start talking about deer. or that brings up another subject. That's just kind of how conversation is. It is itself a lost art, and it is itself a lost field of entertainment. Conversation's amazing. It's lovely. It's wonderful. It's not just expedient, which it turns out to be now because of texting and social media and emails. It's something, it's kind of a necessary evil rather than leisurely entertainment. It's wonderful stuff. So let's get back to the kindness. First of all, kindness is not a random act. When you set out to do a random act of kindness, it can begin to give you the back door into growing what you already have inside you anyway, most likely. If you're listening to this program, most likely you have some empathy, you have kindness, you may have lots of troubles, people may have called you mean and creepy and crazy, or you may feel that towards someone else, we're people. This isn't just, you know, we don't float on a novena cloud. We have feet. We do things and we like to do our hair and make fashion mistakes. You know, this is who we are. So it's good. Embrace it. But kindness itself is not a random act. If you do it because you want to have some fun, that's great. And you may actually do some good things and you may discover some things along the way. So I'm not ever discouraging anyone from doing a random act of kindness. However, it's not just a random act, but it's a fertile, kindness is a fertile ground with which those random acts become natural acts and they become meaningful, intentional acts. My example before the break of, oh, by the way, you can also go on breadboxmedia.podbean.com and look at the archives, look at asynchronous development, look at some of the things that we've talked about in the past. We just cover so many things from pornography to Lent. So it's all there. When we look at this kindness and we look at the fertile ground with which kindness can grow and it becomes natural, this becomes then part of our it's just like when you eat something, it doesn't just go to your brain or to your abdomen. Or we say, you know, what is it? A minute on your through your lips, a lifetime on your hips or something like that old adage about eating a cupcake. But it goes everywhere. The blood sugar helps your brain so you don't pass out. Your liver, it goes absolutely everywhere. It's a series. The big tubes and the tiny tubes and everything utilizes everything you breathe in, everything you eat, everything you absorb through your skin, it's all there. It's all works in this machine. So same things happen when you expose yourself to a, quote, random act of kindness, unquote. You actually are beginning a new capillary system into your whole being. But if we go only on that, as I did in that other example, well, here's a random act of kindness. I'm going to bring some flowers into this person. Not a bad idea. Great idea. But if you listened, now it's still a good idea. People have come up to me and just given me a rose. And I tell you, it made my day Just some person gave me a rose. I've had that happen many times in the last year, actually. So one time when I was playing outside at a street fair, and a woman came up and gave me three, they're kind of made from wood shavings, roses, beautiful. I still have them. I use them all the time. I bring them with me when I play guitar. But that was beautiful. Another time when I was volunteering, someone came up and gave me four beautiful fresh roses. Another time, one of the homeless people will bring, every time they come in, they will bring a rose that they find somewhere. I don't know where they find them. But there are a lot of flowers around here. And it's just so heartwarming. It's so heartwarming. And I find a place to put it in on me. I mean, I'll find a place to wear it. It's very important. It's just such a lovely thing. And why did they do it? They did it because they wanted to show their appreciation. And it's a very lovely thing. It's a very lovely thing. So when you do the same thing, you could be, maybe somebody else is allergic to them. So my example is to point out that as you get more fine-tuned and as we get more intimate, so as you get to know a person, it's not just to a stranger. That random act of kindness is wonderful for a stranger. You see an elderly woman with a walker trying to get through one of those big doors to get into their dentist office, get up and open the freaking door. I can't tell you how many able-bodied men, how many of you are teaching your sons, get up and open that door for that lady. I don't care if that lady's 16. Open the door. So many men. My first mass. No, not my first mass, but during my first bunches of masses in my reconversion, one of them was Easter down in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And I'm in this church that is packed because it was just starting to become, you know, it wasn't off season. Off season is the summer. So it was so packed. There was standing room only. And there were all these buff guys in their, you know, shorts, and they got their kids and they're there and they're there. And these little elderly people in the community were standing along the side, and these big, healthy people, men, were sitting in the pews right next to them on the aisle. So you need to fine tune what you think. You need to be aware of your environment. Stand up, give that lady or that man a seat. They can say no. Give them a seat. Open the door. It's a lovely thing. It is a lovely thing. So, but let me give you another thing as you get more and more intimate. This is something that one of my listeners asked me about, and because it drove her, it made her angry and irritated. And she didn't understand why, because she's dating somebody. And she didn't understand why this scenario bothered her. And I will reiterate the scenario to you because she asked me to do it. So the scenario is this. She's dating someone who's very nice and, is friendly, treats her well. And, just seems to be a regular guy. Good job. Nothing extraordinary in any particular way. They have lots of things in common, other things they don't have so much in common. But there's a consistent habit from this guy. And this is about fine-tuning your kindness on each side. So there's something that occurs continually. This isn't a one-time deal. They've been going out for a couple years. I don't know how long, but I know that it's been longer than a year. And that is this, that no matter what the circumstance, whether it's where to go for dinner, what to eat, this is what she's listed for me, movies, what movie they might see, whether what time of day or night, where the thing's going to occur, it seems to always be gently cajoled to his time, place, movies, his desires, without knowing it. And here's how it happens. Do you have a friend like this? Are you like this? One of my dearest friends has this particular habit. I love you if you're listening, but you have this habit. And that is, if somebody, so here's this guy. We'll get back to this guy. So here's what she's telling, my listener is telling me, that no matter what she says, in a friendly, jovial way, he always gives her reasons why what she can and cannot do, wants and doesn't want to do, it's completely looked over. It's completely slighted. She works very hard. She has a very long commute. And she does not want to get in her car at 6 o'clock at night and go drive 15, 20 minutes to his side of town because he works hard too. But yet, for some reason, his concept is that that's easier. Somehow it's easier. And she says, no, I get up at 4:30 in the morning so I can make my commute. I work 20 minutes from the border. I have to make my commute. I have to get there in plenty of time. What do I do? What am I supposed to do? I'm tired. I don't want to go because by the time I get to your area of the town, then it's 6, then it's 7. Well, it's only an hour. No, it's not an hour. Then we go, I want to take you out to dinner. Well, so she's then now in the position of saying no, 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 no. And she feels very put upon because there's no reciprocity. Her boyfriend does not seem to be able to understand that it's not his issue. He's not seeing that she sees things a little different. She has a different temperament, a different body type. She has different needs. We're going to finish this up on the other side of the break and hope we can get to some answers about this on both sides of that equation. I am your host, Dr. Michelle. Get your coffee, look out the window, be grateful.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Well, welcome back. I hope you have seen something beautiful in this short break that we had, that somehow, whether it's in your imagination, your child's face, your boyfriend's face, your husband's face, your a thought of internal kindness. Now, I want to answer your question, the woman who asked me this question about more about how she's feeling. Is she's concerned she's being unkind in this situation. And the way she described the relationship to me, I am going to kind of look at it from two levels. First of all, remember the acts of random kindness. An act is an action, and that's a good thing. Get out and go to a soup kitchen. Drop off some stuff. Go Thanksgiving. At one point, there was a call for they needed frozen turkeys. They didn't want you to be there. And sometimes you think, well, that doesn't feel very good. They just needed turkeys. They already had enough people cooking and serving and everything else. So, but the kindness comes from just going and buying a darn turkey and dropping it off. Nobody knows you. Nobody sees you. It's that kind of thing. Whatever it is, wherever you can be, you may not feel it, but you will eventually feel it, I promise you. So in action, her boyfriend is very kind. He gives actions. He celebrates birthdays. He does all kinds of stuff. Now, that doesn't mean that this isn't a fabulous relationship. And some people say, well, hey, let's just overlook that. Well, this is really bothering her. And it has since the very beginning. Why? It's bothering her because she feels minimized, dismissed, unheard, and unseen. Because it's consistent. It isn't just once. It's consistent. On further exploration, there are lots of times when she's willing to go to his neck of the woods or go over to his house or to go somewhere. But the concept is it is always one-sided, mainly always. There's never an always there. Because they have things to do. By the time they do everything, it's too hard for the boyfriend to get somewhere. But it's not just, hey, it's just too hard for me. I really just can't seem to get myself together. What can we do to solve this problem? Which would be the kind thing to do. The kindest thing to do is for each of them to understand the person sees things from a different viewpoint. But there is a point where now the scale is getting tipped. Because the truth of the matter, the unkindness comes where he is not seeing her. He is not hearing her. He is not valuing. He is not thinking and acting as if what she needs is valuable. And again, think about this. Who do you know like this? Even yourself, where your friend says, hey, let's go to coffee. And you say, well, I really can't go. Well, why? Because I'm said that I would go to church. Well, you don't have to go to church right then, do you? Well, no, but I want to go right now. Well, you know what? There's a 4 o'clock mass. You don't have to go to the 9 o'clock mass. No, I know that, but I want to go to the nine. It's almost like there's going to be, they're going to wear you down. But here's the bottom line. If you strip around all the words, the bottom line is that the onus is on you to be the one to rain on their parade. You feel it and they feel it. It has worked for them in the past. And for whatever reason, her boyfriend, she feels, bulldozes emotionally over her feelings. Not big feelings of feeling hurt. It's just that rather than saying, you know, I understand. The same reason that I have to go to Walmart and I have to go get my car washed and I have to go vacuum it out and I have to go feed the fish and feed the dog and feed the cat and I have to drive, 10 miles to go get some insurance. I just don't want to go to your neck of the woods, honey. Well, the same way then I understand that. I understand you really don't want to do that. So let's make a solution. When can we make it happen? Or I'll tell you what, I will do 3 things in the morning, and after we spend some time together in the early part of the day on a weekend, I'll do the other 3. But there is no wiggle room with her boyfriend, she says. She says there is never a time, and she feels demoralized and dismissed and minimized because she can't give a good enough reason. Well, in kindness, there is no reason. Kindness is just kind. And what is that lacking? It's lacking empathy. Now, why is he lacking empathy? Evidently, he's a good enough guy. She likes him. She didn't say she loved him, but she likes him. And they've been going out together for a long time. Relatively long for her age group and for, she was been dating exclusively now for a couple of years, it seems. So what is the situation there? The empathy is not quite there. Why is this so important? Why should she not just say, you know what? I'll be the better person and I'll just always go to his place or I'll go to his neck of the woods. Why not? Because the bottom line is that he is not empathizing. He is not acting. He may do kind actions. He may flood her with gifts. He may always buy dinner. He may polish her car. He may build her a fence. He may do all kinds of things. But on the long term, intuitively, she understands at some level, this will not be satisfying. I will always feel diminished because she, and if it starts here when they're dating, what's going to happen if they get married? It's a very important thing. She's very distressed by this, and I understand that. If you look at it from the surface, it does not look like a very distressing situation. But it is a very distressing situation because of the inability to be naturally kind and just kind of develop your own, wait a minute, the world does not revolve around what's easy for me. That's what she's asking for. That is what she's asking for. So when we look at what we need to do in order to develop this kindness, and why is it important? Not only because you are asked to be that, because it's something that you've felt inspired by some gospel reading, or because that is the only thing that is going to keep us from killing people, either their reputations or their lives, their hopes, their dreams. Where do you think cyberbullying is coming from? Where do you think trolls are coming from? Because for some reason, there isn't a reason for them to act kindly. Their kindness gets taken off with their shoes at the door. And when they go into their own homes, they become monsters. They become mean and ugly and angry for whatever reason they feel it. So when we look at that, it does not seem that connected, does it? But it is that connected. It is absolutely that connected. And even if you teach your children the kindness, the kind acts, which is very important, that's little kids have to start out. Oh, go, you open that door for that lady, you know, John or whatever your child's name is. Or no, give that to your sister. Or let's serve them first. I have a big pet peeve. And it's not, I do it lightly. But one of my pet peeves is when we volunteer at the various soup kitchens. I have to write something. I'm very sorry you're going to hear me. I cannot multitask. When we volunteer at the various soup kitchens, and the volunteers are volunteering, oftentimes they will take their food before the homeless. Now, if someone came straight from work, they haven't eaten all day, totally get it. And that's great. Let's announce that. Totally get it, because you're not going to do anything if your blood sugar is low. But the reality is the kindness comes from within to say, you know what? I can go home to my refrigerator. This person can't. And maybe someone's going to walk in the door last minute. And yeah, maybe that's not a cool thing. Maybe they're drunk, but they didn't eat. That's natural kindness. No one's ever going to know you did it. So in this situation with this girlfriend, boyfriend, we're going to be running out of time. These are all interconnected, because as you grow your kindness, even if you don't get it, because the point is that he doesn't get it. He doesn't get it why it's such a hard thing for her. He does it that way. He treats his house like this. He treats his animals like this. He treats his needs. Well, then why would he not expect her to do the same thing? Which that's not in her nature. Well, I'm sorry, I can never see you again because I have to do this. I need to wash my windows. I need to curl my hair today. Nothing is rearranged around the other person, even though they are in a monogamous long-term relationship. So my whole point here is, and for you, will take this up tomorrow. For you who asked me the question and who brought out the scenario, wanted to know what my take was. I think that your main core issue is feeling like you're minimized, that you're not heard. And when you get to that point, there's a level of trust that isn't there. Because if you're not heard on the little things, you may not be heard on the bigger things. You may not think it intellectually, but you think it inside. So whichever side you tend to lean on, open the window. In your day-to-day life, look at where you are in that little kindness garden, and let's see if we can't grow some a little bit more. All right, I am your host, Dr. Michelle. We will see you tomorrow. God bless you all. Thank you for walking with me today.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.